broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for September 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is Hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We got a special guest right now, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, the jobs report just got released by, I don't know what you say, the Barack administration? Anyway, Curtis Ellis. He is Trump's economic policy advisor. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
It's a great pleasure and privilege to be here with you.
Now, help me understand something. They always say that things change, that jobs, you know, A, there's not as many jobs as we thought there was going to be, or this and that, but the unemployment rate stays the same. How does all that work?
Well, when people give up looking for work, when people leave the labor force, maybe by dint of dying, this affects one of the denominators or numerators in the fraction that's used to compute the labor, compute the unemployment rate. And they always give you the low number. They say that the unemployment rate has unchanged at 4.9%. But the real truth is when you count the people who've given up looking for work or the people who are working in a part-time job but would like a full-time job, the people who are working at a job for which they're overqualified and underpaid, the real unemployment rate is actually 9.7%. But it gets even worse than that. When you count the people who've given up looking for work for a year or more, the long-term unemployed, we are now staring at an unemployment rate in this country of 11.9%. That is far different than the 4.9% the administration likes to wave out there to distract everybody and say, happy days are here again.
Well, and the other problem is when you compare it, say, to the 1950s, for instance, it used to be that a man could go out and make a living for his family. In that sense, there was a lot less people wanting work, but they actually had payable wages that could take care of their families. Now, that's not even possible. Often it takes two just to even keep above water, right?
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And that's the problem here. We, at the Trump campaign, just released a statement directing everyone, and particularly those in the media who like to report on these things, you have to look below the fact that, look below the puny 126,000 jobs that were reportedly created in the last month, and look at what kind of jobs were created. The bulk of these jobs, more than a third, are in retail and bars and restaurants. Now, I have nothing against anyone working at any kind of job. I think it's a good thing for people to work. The Bible says man shall earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. But these are not the jobs that pay the kind of money that you can support a family, buy a house, raise a family, put your kids through college. Waitress jobs can supplement an income, but unfortunately, unless you're working in a very high-end restaurant or country club, you're not going to be able to support your family on it.
And that leads to the exact point that I'm making, is that even when you have two jobs, with the amount of belligerent taxes and regulations and a low-paying job with not a lot of future to start, where do you go from there?
Well, exactly right. And you see now, it's just diabolical. You see people working two, three jobs or four jobs in a household. You see both parents working two jobs each. Who's raising the kids? Who's supervising the children? Who's providing the role model? Who's there? And children need input. They need guidance. Who's giving them the guidance? The TV set? I mean, this is the computer. It's really infernal. The knock-on effects of the stagnant economy that we've been suffering under the Clinton-Obama years. All of the good-paying jobs that you talked about before, the manufacturing jobs, where a man could go out, get a job, earn enough to provide for the family, those jobs have been sent to China and to Mexico under these globalist policies, which want to see a global redistribution of America's wealth to the third world. It has submerged Americans into poverty, absolutely decimated entire cities, communities, and states. It's produced when we outsource these jobs, remember, We're also outsourcing upward mobility. We're outsourcing, in addition to the ability to provide for a family, we're outsourcing our tax base for our states, our cities, and our federal government.
So, but it gets even worse, Curtis, because not only are we outsourcing everything that you say and more, because if you don't have manufacturing, if you don't have farming and agriculture, if you don't have base things that are producer-type things, you've lost really your whole ability to carry forward stably in the first place. But it gets worse, because if I make a bunch of money, and I don't mean get super rich, but I mean have a good, stable job making good money, I can pass that money around my community. I go to the hardware store where my buddy Dave works, and then Dave goes to the locksmith because he locked his keys in his car, and then the locksmith guy goes out to eat with his wife, and then someone ends up at the movie theater and eats popcorn. And you know what? The money does what? Quintuple duty? But when the money just leaves after one transaction, there's no future.
Exactly right. You've described a very basic economic principle called velocity, and the money turning over and circulating in the community. You know, back in the 50s and before, they used to, the federal government used to be involved in something called pump priming economics, right? Or pump priming. When we had a recession, and you know, they uncovered some very interesting papers from Franklin Roosevelt, which, you know, maybe he's not a great idol among your audience here, but still, these are the facts. Roosevelt, in the teeth of the Depression, said, let's put some people to work in the WPA projects, planting trees in rural America. But it went further than that. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to give them overalls. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy cotton from the cotton farmers, and then that cotton is going to be used to make overalls, so the textile workers are going to have jobs, and then we're going to put those overalls on people who are going to plant trees. So you weren't just employing the people planting the trees, but you were employing the cotton farmer and the textile worker and the garment sewer.
And the guy that has a restaurant near all these guys doing all this stuff so they can go eat lunch.
That's right. Exactly right. And that's the same principle that was at work. We can't prime the pump anymore, because what went wrong with Obama's stimulus plan is he dumped a bunch of money into so-called shovel-ready projects, but that money went... They didn't buy a shovel that was made down the street. They bought a shovel that was made in China. So we ended up stimulating the economy in China.
Well, and not only that, then you build a war machine in China for another battle later down the road, which we don't even want to get into at this point. But I'm just making this statement that, you know, at what point the question is, what is the money used for? Is it to build happy, stable, safe families? Or what?
No.
And you got to kind of think down that road. The next tidbit Donald Trump's economic report that I want to get to in a second. But I want to say Donald Trump, his whole life in the private sector, has been providing this private sector free market pump priming already just by the businesses he run. I went to Hawaii just a couple months ago, and I walked by the Donald Trump Hotel, and I see all kinds of industry around it, sir.
That's right. You see, when you put people to work, in one job, it has a knock-on effect, and you've got these indirect jobs that are created. I wrote recently about another American industry destroyed by China, the aluminum industry. Tin foil, right? It sounds like a joke. But tin foil, it's like a multi-billion-dollar market.
Yeah, and it came from space exploration, didn't it?
Pardon me?
I said I think tin foil came from space exploration anyway.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's used in all kinds of food wrapping. If you open a potato chip bag, it's this very thin foil. It used to be made in America. The Chinese have taken over the aluminum industry by subsidizing their industry. But the point is here, the aluminum smelters in America have been driven out of business. And these were jobs in rural areas where there weren't other good-paying jobs to replace them. And every job, so there were 900 jobs at a smelter in Washington State, in eastern Washington, that produced four other jobs for the people who worked at the luncheonette nearby, for the shopping mall nearby where people bought their clothes or bought clothes for their kids going to school. All those people have lost their jobs, too, as a result. And Donald Trump, by creating jobs, buildings and hotels and employing people, other people are indirectly employed as a result of having these good, steady jobs in their communities.
I want to talk about the country's labor force participation rate for a second, because this is mentioned in Donald Trump's press release as well. I think this is a critical reality check, because they can't manipulate this near as easy, can they?
No, you can't. And the labor force participation rate is key. It's crucial. When you have more people working, you have more revenues coming into the government. You have more money circulating in the community. There was an interesting report.
Can you hold on a quick second, Curtis?
Certainly.
I have a quick break. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear Curtis Ellis's interesting story. Curtis Ellis is Donald Trump's economic advisor, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Solutions, bringing back jobs, putting people to work. What, make America great again in seconds?
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my three beautiful daughters and my two sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about Donald Trump's campaign statement on stagnant August jobs report. The August jobs report shows a stagnant Clinton-Obama economy that fails to deliver jobs. We're talking about this. They say the unemployment rate's 4.9%. It doesn't change because they can quote the lowest numbers in a manipulated statistics circumstance. But when you start talking about the jobs labor force statistics, in other words, 62% of people are really working. If you back into that, I wouldn't say that translates to a 33% unemployment rate, but I would say it literally smacks of that when everybody has to work to deal with the out-of-control regulations. That's kind of the point. Ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Ellis is with us, and he is Donald Trump's economic advisor. Now, I'm not saying it translates to 33% unemployment, but I am saying when everybody has to work just to keep their heads above water and pay the belligerent taxes and regulations, it almost feels like that, Curtis.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. You know, it's an interesting thing about the labor force participation. Dan Fuss of the Loomis Sales Bond Fund. He's a bond guru, big Wall Street firm. This guy's not some kind of, you know, pinko commie or anything. He says if we increase the labor force participation rate by just a couple of points, all the deficits disappear.
He's right, because there's a ton more money milling around in the American economy that one of my first points mentioned.
Exactly. You've got people paying into the Social Security Trust Fund, paying into Medicare, paying taxes at the local, state, and federal level. Now, I'm not here to be a cheerleader for people paying taxes, but, you know, the point of the fact is when we've lost jobs and the jobs that are being the only kind of jobs that are left are low-paying, minimum-wage-type jobs, you've got fewer people paying into the Social Security Fund, paying taxes, paying property taxes, doing all that to support our schools. And so what the Democrats say is, well, let's raise taxes on the people that are left. And that becomes a death spiral. It becomes a horrible feedback cycle. Fewer people paying taxes. We've got deficits, and the solution is to raise the tax rate. And then that drives more jobs out of the country, and it just compounds the problem. And that's the kind of fix that we're in under these Clinton-Obama Democratic policies. Donald Trump's solution is growth. We are going to reduce taxes on businesses, on small businesses, which are the engine of the economy. We're going to reduce taxes on people, on every working man and woman in America, so they have more money in their pocket, put people back to work. We will have more growth, and we'll be able to make America work again, make America prosperous again, and yes, make America great again. That's the way to do it. Don't count on government to do it. Let's unshackle. Stop punishing companies for doing business in America and letting them get away scot-free and basically encouraging them to move overseas and bring their goods in tax-free. That makes no sense at all. That's not the way the founding fathers set it up. I mean, for the first 200 years of this country, it was the government was supported by taxes on imports. It was called a tariff. The first act of Congress was a tariff act. They wanted to, they had to raise money to pay for the basic functions of government. They didn't do it by taxing Americans. They essentially did it by taxing foreigners that wanted to take advantage of the American market.
Well, and those taxes or those tariffs, constitutionally speaking, could be adjusted based on how participatory those countries are in the free market. And if they're going to play by the rules, great. We can work out a deal. If they're not, then you know what? You're not playing in the best economy in the world. That's all.
That's right. Exactly right. We have what everybody wants. We have the best economy in the world, the biggest consumer market in the world. Everybody wants a piece of this action. Why are we giving it away? Donald Trump says, let's negotiate. We're negotiating from a position of strength, but we have these political hacks that don't know how to negotiate, and they're giving it away. And basically, let's be frank here. A lot of the people that are negotiating these trade deals are being paid as soon as they leave government. They go to work for the people, for the companies, the global corporations that are outsourcing, that are moving to China, moving overseas, and they want to get tax-free entry of their goods back into the U.S. So these folks are negotiating not for the well-being of the American people, but for the well-being of their future employers.
Don't those revolving doors suck? Hey, a couple other quick questions. I know Donald was in Mexico, had an incredible meeting there, then went to Phoenix, a speech that hit it out of the park, in my personal opinion. I want to bring this up, though, because he made some points that are fantastic, and that is this. Just because we want America to be first, they would then want to spin that into we're isolationists. I couldn't expect them to say something more bogus than that. But what Donald said in those series of events is, hey, you know what? We can help Mexicans have Mexico be great again. We can figure a way where they won't want to come to America. They'll love their own country. Isn't that healthy?
It is completely healthy. Look, we are on the same hemisphere here. We do share a border. We're neighbors. We want our neighbors to be healthy. Unfortunately, this NAFTA trade agreement It hasn't helped the Mexicans much either. All the Mexican farmers were driven out of business. That's why a lot of them came north to work here. A lot of the Mexican industries were decimated under NAFTA as well. And then here's the next step. Our automobile industry, large chunks of it did move south of the border to Mexico. But now Obama has and Hillary Clinton are ready to approve this thing called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, another horrifying trade deal, which would then take Mexico's auto industry and move it to Southeast Asia and to China. And so the Mexicans will be hurt even more, and what remains of the American auto industry will be wiped out. So we have a stake in this game together to keep the Western Hemisphere healthy, to keep North America healthy. And if America's healthy, look, it's gonna help the Mexicans too. And if we want Mexico to be healthy, so you know the Mexicans don't all come north looking for work as landscape gardeners or something.
Well, and Donald called that a win-win, sir.
Totally, that's exactly what it is. It's a win-win. It is possible. It can be done. But again, the people who've been negotiating some of these deals for our government don't have the best interests of the American people in mind, or even of the Mexican people. They are looking at global corporations that want to move to East Asia or wherever the cheapest labor can be found. And they're basically acting as sort of a colonial power where the whole world is their colony.
Well, I know that I was supposed to let you go at 25, so we're over time a little bit. Do you have till 30 after?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said I was supposed to let you go at 25 after the hour. I don't know if you have other appointments. Do you have till 30 after?
What time is it now?
27 after.
Yeah, sure.
The reason I asked that is because one of the other points Donald made is we're going to rebuild the inner cities. We're going to, you know what? We're done with this gang mentality. They're gone. And we're going to give the opportunity for these cities in America to prosper again. That's something that really I haven't heard a politician talk about on both sides of the aisle forever.
Yeah, really. We are going to, we're going to make this work. We're going to make it work for everybody. Look, Donald Trump doesn't have a stake in trying to make one party win over the other. He is working for the good of America. There's no easier job. Let me tell you this. I've worked on Capitol Hill. The easiest job in the world is to be a member of the House of Representatives in the minority party. You don't propose legislation. You don't get to choose what legislation you vote on. All you have to do is send press releases back home saying you're fighting the other party. And then you can go to your fundraisers and raise money for your party boss.
And the underlings can do that for you.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah, right. That's right. You just read it over and say, that's fine. This is going to end. We're going to have Congress that works, that actually addresses the problems facing the American people, not addressing how can I raise more money to keep my party in power or keep my party, keep my donors happy.
We need somebody to work for the American people. That's without a doubt. Hey, by the way, Curtis, you might find this interesting as an economic advisor. Did you know that Utah has made new laws that make gold and silver legal tender once again, sir?
I did not know that.
Yeah, just an FYI for you. We can get you with an attorney that put the legislation together. It already passed the governor's mansion and everything in the state of Utah. Gold and silver is legal tender. I thought you'd find that fascinating. We're sure appreciate your time, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Curtis Ellis, Trump Economic Advisor, on your radio. Thanks, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
During the Republican presidential primaries, several candidates, most prominently Texas Senator Ted Cruz, condemned Barack Obama for supposedly not believing in American exceptionalism. Hillary Clinton has now taken up that charge and hurled it at Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. In an August 31st address to the American Legion National Convention in Cincinnati, Mrs. Clinton extolled the blessings of being Americans, describing it also as a serious responsibility, because the decisions we make and the actions we take affect millions, even billions, of lives. You may wonder how anyone can disagree, she continued, but in fact my opponent in this race has said very clearly that he thinks American exceptionalism is insulting to the rest of the world. This was a reference to a statement Donald Trump made early in the GOP primaries, explaining that other foreign leaders, such as Russian President Vladimir Putin, might not appreciate being treated as subordinates to Washington. When Vladimir Putin, of all people, criticized American exceptionalism, my opponent agreed with him, saying, "If you're in Russia, you don't want to hear that America is exceptional. Maybe you don't want to hear it, but that doesn't mean it's not true," Clinton insisted. Mrs. Clinton's speech was described by The Hill as her latest outreach to Republicans who cannot support Trump. Ironically, while Mrs. Clinton was striking a tone that could be described as belligerent nationalism, Mr. Trump was in Mexico City as a guest of Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Curtis Ellis, Trump's economic advisor, that's Donald Trump's economic advisor, had to take off. He's got a bunch of things to do, but he made plenty of time for us. We're certainly grateful for that. And I'm waiting for Hillary's economic advisor to go ahead and give me a call. I'll be just as fair and kind to her. And we can go ahead, or him, whoever it is, and we'll talk about the economy. It'd be a good thing to talk about, don't you think? Kurt, do you have any comments as a wrap-up to that before we take on our next guest here?
I think it was covered very well. Nice work, Sam, and, you know, it was nice to hear from him.
Yes, sir. What do you think about the idea that I'm waiting for Hillary's economic advisor to give me a buzz?
You'll need to wait for quite a while, I'm pretty sure.
I wonder if I could get Daryl Castle and Scott Bradley's economic advisors. By the way, did I tell you that, you know, you've heard of Gary, right? He's that guy running on the Libertarian ticket. I think it's Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had a kid come by my house, knock on my door and say, "Hey, I need you to really help Gary get into the debates and stuff like that." And I said, "I support Gary being in the debates, but I think Gary took on a globalist that I'm kind of disappointed in." Anyway, we had this talk, and I gave this guy my card and said, "Have Gary call me," and I'm still waiting, Kurt. So, you know. But Gary
can
call me.
I think he'll be waiting for a while.
Yeah, well, or his economic advisor could, you know, work on setting up an interview, too.
Good point.
All right, just curious. Sheriff, welcome back. Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here. I'm glad you got, I didn't catch his name. I'm glad you got him on, though.
Yeah, he's Trump's economic advisor. His name is Curtis Ellis. What a gentleman.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that he did that, and I actually met a lot of Trump's staff on, what night was it, Friday?
Yes, I think so.
Wait. What's today? Today's Friday. No, it was Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. All right.
Yeah. I went to the big rally in Phoenix. And
it was a great speech, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you, Sam, it was. I was really impressed. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, even though there might be a couple of tidbits on it we're not, you know, fond of, overall it was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. And the people that were there, it was just, man, it was just electric in that place. It was jam-packed, just a great crowd. And
they let Richard Mack in, huh?
Not only did they let me in, but they one of the ladies that was helping do a VIP section for people who were speaking, the families that you saw in there that had lost loved ones to illegal aliens.
Yeah, so they had everybody come on stage. It was excellent.
Well, they went up there, and then they came back into the crowd, and they had a podium, well, a pedestal, kind of a large pedestal where people were...
Yeah, a way that everybody could be seen.
Well, they were sitting sitting there, and like former Governor Jan Brewer was there, and I reacquainted myself with her. But the lady that was in charge of that, I said, "You're this pretty little petite lady, and you're trying to run security for this all by yourself." I said, "Please let me help." And she's, "Oh, you've been my hero before. You're my hero now." Blah blah blah. So I said, "Look, I'm just here to help. You know, whatever you need me to do." So she put me there, and people who just saw some empty seats said, "Well, I'm just going to take them," and they were climbing over fences to get to the seats. And it was really rude, this lady kind of got pushed aside one time, and I was already helping at the time. I said, "Sir, you need to go back where you came from, or I'm going to call the police on you right now, because what you just did was out of line." And so I was trying to help this really pretty lady, and, you know, she's probably 65 years old and thought that people would be cooperative, but... it was turning into mayhem kind of thing. We're just going to storm this place and sit down if we want to, you know, because most people were standing for 4 or 5 hours, and so obviously some people didn't want to do that anymore, and so they saw these empty chairs over by Governor Brewer and thought, "Oh well, we'll just sit behind here and do what we want." But you know, they said, "Well, if they're empty, why can't we sit there?" I said, "Well, do you want to open this up to 10,000 people? You know, you can't sit here, you know, either can the rest of the crowd, you know." So anyway, it was a fun night. I saw so many different people that I'd met before. Like, I think I sent you the picture of Paul Gosar.
Yeah, it was fantastic. He won and then hung out with Richard Mack. It doesn't get better than that at a Trump rally, huh?
Yes, and I just for your listeners, Paul Gosar is a United States congressman from the northern part of Arizona, and I've known him for quite some time.
Yeah, he's the one that had the integrity to meet with us when we traveled all the way to Washington.
Yeah, there was a couple, I think three that did. And,
yes. You know,
Matt Salmon did, and Paul Gosar did. And Paul has always been very fair and open. And so, anyway, we took a shot.
Was he the guy that did the limiting the IRS, enforcement budget thing?
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
Yes,
that's
exactly
what I was
right,
thinking. Too. Yeah, good point.
Now he needs to limit... a lot more with the IRS, but hopefully we'll get somewhere on that too. Pray that that happens. But, you know, I think it's been a really good week for Trump. This morning on the news, I guess they were going after him because he had something scripted for a black church that he was invited to and what he was going to say. And so that's been exposed now that he was scripted to go to this black church.
Well, and what's fascinating about that Donald forced accountability on that by saying, "Fine, if you want it scripted, I'll give you my answers too." And he proved the whole thing was a script.
You don't think anybody going to some speech is going to be ready with some sort of script? That's ridiculous. Of course they are. If I'm asked to go speak at a Pentecostal church or Seventh-day Adventist church, which I've done, or a Baptist church, you don't think I go over certain things? And sometimes they send me specific questions and points to make. And, okay, so I go over them, I change them. Sometimes I actually send in what I'm going to say before I go. You know, much ado about nothing?
Well, it is much to do about nothing, except for that they never bring this up when it's one of their bureaucrat politicians. They keep it quiet. When it's Donald, they want to expose it and make it act like he's done something weird.
Who's been the most scripted president in American history?
Well, I think Joe Arpaio.
Well, yeah.
Was Joe there, by the way?
Yes. In fact, I asked Joe to take me with him.
To where?
Sheriff Arpaio. Well, I knew he was asked to speak, and I knew he would be kind of maybe in the green room or whatever. And so I said, hey, how about if I come by your office and we go over to the event together? And he goes, that would be fine with me, except you're not on the Secret Service list. And I can't add you to it. And I said, okay, then.
Unfortunately, I get that, even though anyway.
But I saw him there, and I shook his hand, and a lot of reporters were, I said, hey, I made it anyway, and good luck on your speech. And we shook hands, and he was very gracious, but cameras were following him everywhere. It was kind of amazing.
It's kind of obnoxious to some degree.
It is a little bit. I was standing by one guy, and a reporter came by and said, we want to take a picture of your tie. It was actually Mark Singer. I think you know him. He lives here, and he's a life member of the CSPOA, and so is his wife, Kim. And he does a lot of good work as an activist here. But anyway, he had an American tie on, red, white, blue stuff, and reporters wanted to take a picture of his tie. So I'm really glad I didn't wear a tie. Yeah. So, but it was pretty exciting to be a part of it.
Well, not only is it exciting to be part of, but whether you want to vote for Trump or not, whether you think he's the best guy in the world or not, he's been saying and doing things, especially on this deal with Mexico or whatever you want to call it, economic policies, border, etc. He did a tremendous job at being polite and presidential with the Mexican president, Nieto, but yet he came back and stuck true to his message. And yes, it was a different delivery to a different crowd, but he didn't betray his message like most politicians do either.
No, he didn't, and I'm sure he was very congenial and presidential with Peña Nieto, El Presidente de Mexico, and that's great, fine. I think he did a great job going to Mexico. I thought it was fantastic, and of course Hillary was jealous and whining and complaining about it, so you know it was good, I think he had a very powerful speech right then. I was worried that he was going to make it to Phoenix in time because he couldn't have left Mexico before 3 o'clock, and he had to be in Phoenix by 6:30, and he actually made it. So what does that tell you about him? Nobody's outworking this guy. He is tremendously energetic, and he's really dedicated to what he's doing.
No doubt about it. Quick pause, Sheriff Richard Mack with us. Donald Trump's interesting, but we got to talk about our incredible, I would say even more interesting, incredible event that took place last Friday and Saturday in Utah. We'll tell you about it in seconds. A good sheriff with us, Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org on your radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online.
or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, Sam and Kurt, the good sheriff riding shotgun. I'm telling you, barn burner broadcasts on your radio every day when it comes to Liberty Roundtable Live. We had an incredible event last Friday and Saturday, Sheriff, and we cannot have a broadcast without highlighting it, sir.
No, I really appreciate that. Thank you. I thought the work that we all did there, Kurt was really busy, that's for sure, while we were there. And his honey was a big success, and everybody loved it. And we have a box of it here that we brought home. And the people that were there were so enthusiastic about it, and none more so than Tom Munns from the John Birch Society in Idaho, and Bliss Two from the Utah chapter also stopped by and became a life member. And so we really appreciate Bliss and Tom and the JBS. They've been very supportive and have worked with us for a long time. And we showed their video, and it's absolutely the most amazing patriotic video and a tell-all expose of everything going on in America and what we need to do to get back our freedom and our Constitution. And I love that video. It's been a while since I've seen it. But it was really appropriate, and of course, Rick Dalton, our instructor on the first day, presented that. But also, Mindy Patterson from the Cavalry Group, she was so excited about all of this, and she wants their, like, 1,200 members to all become members of CSPOA. She's going to be a great instructor for the CSPOA. She's going to be a great representative for the CSPOA. She really wants to coalesce her group with ours. And that is exactly why we had this training. I thought it just couldn't have been better. I think maybe there was a couple of organizational things that we should have had ready, like I failed to have an agenda handed out.
I'm the one that failed on that. I usually write those up. The problem with this one is that we just did a small event for very close people, the training, the trainers, and we just had a tiny staff, and we just did it our very best on a shoestring. Yeah, it was a model of shoestring events, you know?
The agenda was pretty clear in what we did hand out, and that is Rick handed out his Making of America manual. Everybody got that. And we went through maybe a third of that, and then we went into some other things that Rick had completely ready. And we had other handouts. He handed out his police code of ethics, which was really powerful. It's been around for since 1950-something. And then the next day, when I presented, each person received a thumb drive with CSPOA printed on it. It was very good. Kelly did a great job on that. And so what they went home with was my entire presentation, which is what they have to be able to present in their areas. We already have several people already lining that up. In fact, Christine Zito, is already scheduling me for, I believe, October 15th in Idaho to come up while she becomes certified, because, as you know, we have to go and watch them and grade them while they do the presentation. So this is the certification process is still ongoing, but this was such a great foundation, and it convinced me that we need to go all across America with that training seminar.
There's no question we got to do that. We got to put together the funding. I'm working on a budget that'll be a little different than Utah's, because Utah's a pretty interesting place in terms of not many of us are here, so it could be done even cheaper. But we'll put together a very simple, streamlined budget for this, and no doubt we need to dot the land with this training, sir.
Yeah, we really do. It convinced me, and this was our first one, as you well know, because you put it together.
Well, I helped. Come on.
You did. Well, you did. You had a great hand in it. And the whole thing convinced me that we need to do more of them. And I thought it was just so powerful. We had people there from Pennsylvania, one guy from Pennsylvania, one from Florida, one from Virginia, two from Texas.
All over the country, sir.
Well, I think
we really were.
Yeah, we did, and we had people not show up that actually paid to be there, and I still haven't heard from them where they are. The most amazing story, Sam, was that we actually had someone who signed up who died before about 2 weeks before the seminar, and his son-in-law came in his place. They didn't cancel. They promoted this. They knew their father really wanted to come, and so they came in his stead. I was so touched by that, and still am.
And not only did they come, but not only did the replacement come, but he brought somebody with him. It was incredible.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Chad Fisher. And they're very involved in a church that their father was involved in. And Sam, I'm just amazed at the dedication of the people that were there. Like I said, it was like pulling teeth to get some people there. And some have, made excuses not to be there. And then we had no way we could have kept some of the other people away. I mean, they were just so enthusiastic about it. Where do I sign up? How do I get there? Please make sure I have a room. I don't want to miss this no matter what. And it was a beautiful place at Thanksgiving Point. People were really impressed with the area and how beautiful the mountains were and how green it was. And, of course, they were feeling the spirit of Utah. And this whole thing was so wonderful. It was a good impression from us to them and them to us. The CSPUA looked really good these past 2 days and invigorated me and my wife, who was also there helping, and thank goodness that she was. We had a pretty strong showing from people all across America. And from day one to day two, we had about 45 people.
And by the way, it was intentionally small. We had a room that was small on purpose because, again, part of the reason you have those smalls is because you want the part of your training is very interactive. And if you have way too many people, people don't get a chance to interact and be part of it. I'm telling you, almost everybody spoke up and had a question, had a thought, had an opinion, had an input, had an understanding. And one of the keys to your training is it's not just philosophical, it's real-time reality to relating to people's day-to-day lives and to the situations they find themselves in. And only a small group can get that done, sir.
Yes, and it was the caliber of people and the expertise that these people had there. The interaction was amazing because, guy, these people were intelligent. Man, oh, man. And, when we have lawyers there, we had activists there.
Legislators.
Sheriff candidates. We had legislators and former legislators, activists who've been doing this for 30, 40 years, and just common, ordinary students and common, ordinary people who wanted to get involved.
Everybody had allergies. I mean,
Yeah.
That's just a joke because Rick was training the first day and he was crying because the principles of liberty was touching his heart. And really, everybody had a tear in their eye at some point. It was incredible.
Yeah. No question. No question.
Even the good sheriff that doesn't like to cry in front of everybody, he just, tries to power through that. There was even an illegal activity going on in the hall up there, Kurt, wasn't there? an illegal activity of raw honey sales and stuff.
Well, that's right. Embargoed honey was being offered to the participants.
At a discount rate.
At a very special CSPOA rate. CSPOA.org. Right. Become a member today. Good point. Just saying.
Yeah, and I already took, I actually substituted this week for a teacher who needed me there, and I actually took that caramelized pure honey to school, and I let the kids taste it.
That's excellent. Good work. By the way, a quick tidbit I want to get before the end of the hour, because I think it directly relates to our training, CSPOA.org. Get involved, become a member today, and we'll do our best to bring training to your theater, if you will. By the way, there's this interesting tidbit. You know, we talk a lot about sanctuary cities. And you and I say that the sheriff is the leader in his county. He's the top law enforcement elected official within his jurisdiction. They try to twist that and say we think they're gods and they're above anybody in government. That's a lie. We never say that. However, there is an appropriate jurisdictional reality and a balance of power based on dual sovereigns and based on the proper rule of checks and balances. The reason that I bring this up is you got these sanctuary cities now, Sheriff. If the leaders of communities don't have the autonomy that we suggest they do, how do they use it for wrongful purposes like sanctuary cities, but they can't use it for correct principles as we teach?
Yeah, I've actually wondered that before. If it's for liberal causes, they're all for it. If it's to commit crime,
if it's to break the law, they're all for it.
To commit crime, they're all for it. But if it's to stand for the Constitution and principles of liberty, oh, you guys think you can pick and choose. Who are you? Think you're above the law? You think you're God? Blah, blah, blah. You know, where does Matt get off with this stuff? You know, well, you know, if you just study history, you'll see that it's all true. I'm not making any of this up. People think I've made this stuff up. What? No, I don't. All you have to do is research it, and you'll find it yourself.
Last quick thing. Perhaps they need a new book, Kurt. Give that one to Sheriff and let him respond before the end of the hour, sir.
Well, that's right. It's a Liberty News Daily piece, Sheriff. And basically in this instance, what you got is some out-of-control policemen who basically busted a guy's window open just to get in there. He had a medical emergency. And the point of the article is, you know, sometimes the book, if it's written the wrong way, isn't right. But anyway, that's just what happens sometimes.
And our goal would be to teach police officers and everybody else how to deal with those situations appropriately. I'm not going to put that in the show notes today because I'm holding it for tomorrow for a larger, expanded discussion. It's a critical story that needs exploration and modern-day application. Sheriff, I know we're out of time. Thanks for giving up some of your time for the good Trump economic advisor. And obviously, you know, we'll have you back soon, my friend.
No problem. Thanks, Sam. It's a great show.
CSPOA.org, ladies and gentlemen, become a lifetime member today. This nation shall endure.